During the week, as I saw the news, particularly through friends sharing articles and images on social media, I became increasingly just overwhelmed by this sense of sadness in the world at the moment. The senseless destruction of life. The human life has, it seems, in so many countries become a mere commodity, something that can be disposed of so easily, whether that's by disease or especially, of course, by the violence, by bombs falling, by the slaughter, the untold slaughter of innocent women, children, and men, young and old. Both, of course, in the Gaza Strip, especially in Syria, and now in Iraq, where so many Muslims, as well as untold number of Christians, are being slaughtered. Not really for the sake of religion, but simply out of this old sense of hatred and power. And this overwhelming kind of sense just began to fall upon me. And I guess so much of this came to a head on Friday afternoon when I was in the chapel next door and there was the celebrant of a funeral of a little stillborn baby. And there was so much grief there in the chapel that when we got to the end of the service, it was so hard to continue. So hard to go on in the face of this immeasurable grief, this sadness that was so tangible in the chapel and so tangible in my life. And it's probably a similar way that Jesus today in the gospel goes. He's just heard the news that his friend and his cousin, John, has been put to death. Why? Because John stood for the truth and he opposed the powers of King Herod. And so there is Jesus, knowing that this is the fate that will await him as well. There is only one way that anyone who confronts the system of power, that it will always end in violence and death. And so Jesus knows that this is his future. And so to spend that time just by himself, with his few closest friends, to sit in the silence and the Jewish practice of sitting Shiva there on the boat in the middle of the lake, to be able to experience this period of solitude. But of course, then they make their way to their intended destination on the other side of the lake, and who is there but this crowd of people? Matthew tells us 5,000 men and presumably many thousands more women and children. At that period of history, there was perhaps only 30 or 40,000 people who lived in the region of the Galilee. So perhaps half of all the people living there have come to hear Jesus teach and preach on this day. And even though Jesus is overwhelmed by grief, even though he knows all of the failures of humanity, his first impulse is not just to continue to weep and to mourn, but he does something. He's moved, we're told, with compassion. Moved from the depths of who he is to do something for this immense crowd that's there before him. And so he heals their sick. He teaches them. He offers them the word of life. He begins to preach the good news into their lives. And at the end of the day, we're told, the disciples who are caught up as well in this grief and caught up now in this experience of Jesus as the teacher, they come to him out of this sense of compassion, saying, Lord, the day has grown old. We need to do something with this crowd of people. Send them home. Let them go to the villages nearby so that they have something to eat, so they have somewhere to stay. It's a good response. It's a sensible thing for the disciples to make this suggestion and offer this advice to Jesus. But what does he do? He says, no, they don't need to go away. We have all that we need right here. And we're told, what do you have? What little things do you have? And the disciples look among themselves and they can offer 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it seems so pathetic. It seems so worthless, so useless. It seems that it's just not enough. It's never enough to be able to solve all of the problems of the world. Never enough to be able to address these deep needs. Just like the words that I was able to offer at the funeral on Friday just didn't seem to be enough. the gestures, the comfort, the solace, trying to do all that I could do in my limited human power, it just didn't seem enough. But then Jesus speaks this word of grace into the lives of that crowd of people, and he says, no, that is enough. That is enough. That is all that you need. Just bring what you have. Bring the little that you have, and I will do the rest. God will always do the rest. It's overwhelming that that is our faith. It's overwhelming that that is the truth of our lives, that we don't have to do it all. We don't have to solve all of the world's problems, but we have to do the little things that we can with great love. As Saint Therese of Lisieux would say, just do what you can with the little love that you can offer. Whatever you can give, give that. Whatever word of comfort, whatever gesture of solace, whatever kind action you can do to actually feed the poor, to clothe the naked. Because as St. Paul tells us today, even though he'd been through all of the things that he describes, even though he had been shipwrecked and he'd been arrested and he'd been thrown into prison and he'd been stoned almost to death, he'd experienced deprivation, he'd gone hungry for many weeks, he'd been naked, he'd experienced all of this. And yet Paul can tell us with absolute declaration of truth that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from that love of God made manifest, revealed in the very person of Jesus. Neither height nor depth, nothing of the present, nothing still to come, neither in the depths of the earth nor created powers. There's nothing that can stand between us and the love of God revealed in Jesus. Nothing, neither death nor life. We, as the people of God, stand in that truth. We stand perhaps sometimes overwhelmed by the situation of our life, but we stand as a people who know that no, nothing will ever separate us. Nothing will ever be there that is too great for us to be able to handle, not by ourselves, but in the grace of Christ, in the grace of a God who is generous, in the grace of a God who longs to feed us with his word, who wants to provide all that we need to be able to be nourished by the bread that we need to be sustained today. Let's be the people like those disciples who received the gifts of the Lord and handed them on. We're able to share those with this crowd so that this immense crowd of people, all of them had all that they needed. All of them were fed and nourished on that day. All of their needs were met on that day. They received the teaching of the Lord. The sick were healed. They were fed and nourished. We can do the same. We can be the people who receive this gift of being united with Christ and being able to be the ones who share the little, often pathetic things that we have to give, but to share it with great love to transform this world.